Say good evening and thank you to Brother Alan for the welcome, and how it's lovely that Audrey's singing as well. And it's good to see you, and there are some folk here we have got to know over the years, and especially a retired pastor, Dennis Lyle, how he came to Killyleagh a number of times, and he's coming on Monday the 9th of October for a praise service. We appreciate, obviously, your prayers, I'm sure, over the years. And then we're coming now to this week, Monday to Friday, for Killyleagh. And we're having a week with children, with Colin Tinsley. So value prayer for that opportunity with the boys and girls. We've had this now for maybe 5 years or six. And it's really good. We still have our adult mission. You'll always get a couple of people, maybe half a dozen at the most, would come in extra. But one thing about the children's meeting, you're going to be getting a lot more. And really, we do feel that's an area we need to concentrate on. But tonight, I want to turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 1 to 13. And this is also recorded in Mark chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5. We have three questions tonight, and they might not be the normal way of putting it, but this is how it come to me, and I haven't preached on this line before, so this is how it came. And the first is, have you a problem? It's always good to ask that, isn't it? The doctor would wonder what's wrong when you go to see them. And usually people know what the answer is by Google or whatever it is before they go to the doctor nowadays. But have you a problem? And have you a physician? That'd be another question. Have you a physician? And then have you made preparation? I'm sure the Lord will use that outline to speak to your hearts. And especially if there's anyone here not a Christian, that this might be your night when you'd come and trust Christ as your own personal Saviour. So, Matthew chapter 9. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? And that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marvelled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. And tonight, that question, obviously want to put it to you respectfully. You know, have you a problem? And you might say, well, we've all got plenty of problems. And especially in today's fast-moving world, people have all sorts of problems in their life. And some obviously have financial problems. Some people have problems with their health. Maybe problems at work. Problems with relationships. There are so many problems in this world. And it's not hard for us to identify here that we're living in a fallen world. And I'm sure you've often heard it in this pulpit. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we do live in this fallen world that we all get our sin from Adam and Eve. We accept that we're all sinners. Now, it's okay maybe for us to say that here tonight, but there are plenty out there outside this building, and they don't realise that their sin separates them from God. And obviously it's a bigger problem when you don't know you have one. Isn't that right? Sometimes people can go easily, just go along life's journey, not realising that they have a problem. And many are going into eternity. Many are going into eternity, even in our own land. And obviously relatives of ours, neighbours of ours, and they're dying in their sin. And some believe somehow that God will let them into heaven. But you know, tonight, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your own and personal saviour, you've got a big problem. The biggest problem that anyone will ever face, and that is to face up to the fact that you're a sinner. And so here we see it in the reading tonight. Have you a problem? And see in verse 2, it tells us here, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, obviously, here were people that brought this man to Jesus. And obviously the man wanted to go. He wanted indeed to meet Jesus. It would be lovely tonight if you're here and you want to come and trust Christ as your own and personal Saviour. One thing about the Saviour, if you come to him, he won't cast you out. So thankfully there is an invitation to the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so here we see in verse 2 how Jesus could see those that brought the man. Maybe you brought some folk here tonight. Jesus could see what they were all about. Somebody maybe you have been witnessing to for a good while. You've been praying for them. And how this person can meet Jesus. And Jesus, he could see their faith. And he said to the sick of the palsy, he said, "The son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." The man had problems, obviously physically. He was paralyzed. And that would have affected him for employment and everything. But here Jesus, he knows the heart. I'm not saying that all physical disability is indeed, as a result of sin in people's lives, that would be totally false. But it appears on this occasion that there was a reason for this man being paralysed. And in the background here, Jesus could see it all. And he said to this man, the greatest need he had could be answered. What a problem solved. We all like to see problems solved, don't we? Maybe you have a tick list or whatever, and great, that's one job from a thousand removed sort of thing. But here was the biggest task. This man had a problem of sin. Son, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Sins forgiven. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what Ezekiel tells us in chapter 18, verses 4 and 20. The soul that sinneth shall die. So we know that we all will die. And I reckon from heart conditions across the UK, one die every 3 minutes. And that's only one condition. There are plenty of other conditions. We know that sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. We don't like to talk about it, but you can read it in the paper all the time. And we're all involved with family members, and how it can be a very sad occasion as well. And at the same time, for those that are saved, it's wonderful. They're ready to be in the glory. But you know, tonight, have you a problem? Well, if we confess our sins, how it is there to faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's the only one you're deceiving. If you say tonight, you know, my sins are not that bad, God would not be really, he wouldn't hold them against me. He would let me into heaven. Well, obviously, you don't realize that Jesus had to come down from heaven and to die on a cross for you. So it's good to know you have a problem. And you see down there in verse 13, we can see here again about sin. Because Jesus said there at the end of verse 13, "For I am not come to call the righteous." That's those who think they're good enough. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he came to do, to call sinners. Because he died for sinners. And as we said earlier, there's not one person righteous, good enough for heaven. We all need to be forgiven. And we often sing, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock that gate of heaven and let us in. Yes, have you a problem? And it's a big problem. I know man looks at the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. So the Lord knows all about us. He knows what's going on in our hearts. And so tonight, you can answer that question. Have you a problem? And I'd say, yes, you'd say, I have plenty of problems. We all could say that. But the biggest problem is the problem of sin. And I trust tonight that you'll see that the Lord has made provision for you by giving his life a ransom there on the cross. And our sister Ordy was singing there about the cross. And we can't get by the cross, because without Jesus being lifted up on the cross, then we'd be lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so tonight, we're so glad that Jesus loves us. I have another question. Have you a physician? And you might say, well, I have. I have a local doctor. And he's a very good doctor. He's expert in certain fields and things like that there. And you could know a lot about him. But at the end of the day, you need to go and see him if you have a problem. And the doctor can't read your mind. It's only the Lord can. He knows what's going on in our minds. But the ordinary doctor, the ordinary physician, he doesn't know. But Jesus obviously is the great physician. And so tonight, yes, have you a physician? And we did read there verse 2 regarding the four men bringing Jesus. It was difficult for them to let this man down through the roof. And how we can see there that in verse 2 again of Matthew 9. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. See, they brought to Jesus. And at the end of the day, we can bring people to many other bodies who can help them medically, financially. But at the end of the day, they can't save. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So they brought this man to Jesus. That's what we read there. They brought to him a man sick of the palsy. So this paralyzed man who couldn't help himself. He knew that he needed help. He knew he had a problem. Nobody had to convince him. He knew that he was restricted. And you know, sometimes from personal experience over the years, most people, I know it's contrary to statistics, but most people who have got saved in Killyleagh have been saved either in their own home, elderly folk, or in a hospital ward. And you might say, why do people leave it so late? Now they're saved. There's no question about that. When they trust Christ as their Saviour, no matter what age you are. But you think of the value of a young person who gives their life to the Lord. It's a whole life to serve him. So here's a man, and he's been brought to Jesus, and he's not able to get up out of his bed. He's not able to do very much. But he obviously had a desire to meet Jesus. He no doubt had heard that Jesus, he could heal him. He could forgive him for his sins. And he wanted to meet him. And so that's the question we have tonight. Have you a physician? Yes, you might say, I have a local doctor. But could you say that you know Christ as your physician? Your personal physician. And we know Dr. Luke in the Gospel, and we know the Acts as well. How it's good to read that in the light of a doctor who knows a lot about human beings. And so here tonight we can say, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's the love of God. And tonight, if you were to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we can see here the great physician. What he came to do. What a saviour. We read in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what the Lord Jesus came to do. He came, yes, he was equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and how humble he was to leave heaven and come down to us. What a saviour. I was thinking this morning around the table in Killyleagh, and I was reading one verse this morning around the table in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And what a challenge this is. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Christians do. Christians know the great physician. And it was by grace we are saved through faith, that it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And it's not of works that any one of us should boast. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, think of that now, the Saviour was rich, yes, think in heaven, and come down to this poor, stricken world of ours, sinful world. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, for my sake, he became poor. Think of the Saviour, all that riches and glory and honour and praise there in heaven, and the plan was that he'd come and he'd die on a cross for your sin and mine. And so it was for us, yet for your sakes he became poor. He didn't own a house. He had nowhere really officially to put his head down on the pillow. And he walked this world. You think of it. And he loved us. And at 33 years of age, he died for us on the cross. That was the plan. And he would take our sins upon himself that we could be forgiven and go to heaven. So for your sakes, he became poor. Yet through his poverty, through the very plan of God and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and shedding his precious blood, through that poverty, it says, we could be rich. Isn't that lovely? Through his poverty, might be rich. And I trust tonight that you can say, you're rich. Because you are a saved person, you've been forgiven, and you know the great physician. And so that's the question. Have you a problem? I trust if you're not saved, you'll say, I have a problem. And that problem is sin. And how you could be like many others that we speak to over the years, and they would admit they have sinned, but probably don't think it's that serious. They would admit another step, and they would say that Christ died for sin. But they stop there. They refuse, which I believe the third step, most important, to deal with their problem, and that is to accept Christ as their Saviour. He offers them the gift of God, which is eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when someone offers you a gift, it's only mannered, we would say, to accept it. Yes, I wonder, have you a physician? And how you need that physician. You need a physician like Matthew here in verse 9. And how Matthew, there he was working away, and how the Lord passed by. And so we see there Matthew. And what did he do? Jesus said to him, follow me, this tax collector. And he arose and followed Jesus. No doubt he was a convicted man, and he was a converted man. And so think of this man, and he followed Christ. He continued, he left all and followed him. I wonder tonight, if you're not a Christian, are you prepared to come to the Saviour and give your life to him and not put other things first in your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you put the Lord first, then obviously that's a good sign that you're a real disciple and a true Christian. So here's a man, he follows Jesus. And we know what happened there with Matthew. There was a meal there, and he was obviously saying farewell. It was like a farewell party to his friends, giving them a meal in his house, and they were all there. And so you see that in verse 10. Then you can see the mourners, complainers, in verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? So they were complaining. They couldn't see that Jesus had changed this man, Matthew. And Matthew was willing to give up even his occupation and follow the Lord. And so, yes, As we think of this here, here is a man, and he's willing to give up. Willing to give up everything and follow Jesus. Well, the next question we have to ask here, and how Matthew had found a great physician. And I wonder, have you made preparation? Yes. Have you a problem? Have you a physician? Well, Matthew had a physician. And it's very clear. And Christ made it clear. They that be whole need not a physician. Well, obviously, if you're sick and you have a problem, you go to the local doctor. But if you have sin, then the only one you can go to is Christ. And he's the only saviour for the world. And so tonight, you can answer those questions. Have you a problem? And if you're not Christian, yes, you have a big problem. Have you a physician? Yes, you might have a local one, but if you're not saved, then you don't have the great physician. The one who would know all about you, who can read your minds, your thoughts, and who can forgive your sin. Nobody else can do it. But no, finally, have you made preparation? Prepare to meet God. Well, obviously, we live in a busy world and people have so much to prepare. Maybe around your house, or maybe sorting out the car, or sorting out other people's problems or difficulties, and maybe so busy. That's one of the marks, I think, of today's world, that we're all very, very busy and occupied with other things. And so it's important, have you made preparation? So we said earlier, you have to make that appointment. And it's good to be able to do that. And if you do come to the Lord, he is just waiting for you. He's waiting to put his arms around you and save you. But you must come. Come as a sinner and come the way you are. And we just want quickly, see at chapter 9 of Matthew, and we see there the place. And it's believed this could be the second year of Jesus' ministry. And at Galilee, Capernaum, there, and in verse 1. And what a place. And we see the paralyzed man, we have looked at him there in verse 2. And with others helping him along. And the Lord could see that they were doing that. So you could be instrumental, and so could I, and seeing someone else saved. So it's important. There are those around in Killyleagh, and I'm sure Lurgan as well, and they have a burden for souls. And, you know, I'm quite aware this last year of a person, and they came to me burdened about a soul. And they wanted me to visit this soul. And that's wonderful. To be burdened for someone that's not a Christian. And if you're praying for them, and maybe you find it difficult to speak personally yourself, but you could always get someone else to do that, or give them a wee booklet or something. And so that is important here. And so as we look here with this man, how he got pardon. He got pardon for his sins. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's what the Lord did. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. And how we said that earlier, when we read in verse 13, he didn't come to call the righteous. Now, the self-righteous. Because there's nobody good enough for heaven. No matter what type of family you're born into, doesn't matter what education you have or whatever, at the end of the day, we're born sinners. And we all have to come the same way. We have to come to Christ. We have to come acknowledging our sins would keep us out. And if we don't come, then we'll be lost. And there is a heaven to gain tonight. And there's a hell to shun. And so here, this man, he was pardoned, and it's a lovely thing to do. And how then we see here, see in relation to verse 3, and then the opposition here, public opposition to the Saviour. There they are, we said with Matthew's house, they were moaning. Well, here they are again, public opposition. They said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Well, obviously, Jesus couldn't sin because he was perfectly God and perfectly man. But Jesus knew their hearts in verse 4 to 6. And here we get the message, the preaching of the message. He says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Well, obviously, it would appear for someone to say, your sins are forgiven, well, who would know whether they were or not? But if someone said to someone who was paralyzed and said, arise and walk, and you saw them getting up and going, well, you'd know right away that was genuine. Well, see, Jesus knew their heart, and he was challenging them. They were looking at the outward, but he looked at their heart. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus loves you tonight. And we often sing, even from when we're children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one, to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus is all powerful. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And yes, here we are, forgiveness of sins. And then there was praise there. Praise to God from verse 7 and 8. He arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth, then he moves into Matthew. Not only the paralyzed man and Matthew in this chapter, and I wonder, they have made preparation. They have met the physician. Their problems of salvation have been solved. So there's two, paralyzed and Matthew. Then if you look with me in that chapter 9, in verse 18, how we can see there a young girl of 12 years of age who had died, and Jesus raised her up. Then in verse 20, a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, she touches the hem of his garment. And then you can see in verse 27, two blind men, and they receive their sight. And then there was a dumb man possessed with a demon in verse 32. And then we move to verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. No, tonight, he has compassion. He knows that people have a problem. And that's why I'm asking tonight, have you a problem? Not only the ordinary problems that people face, but the biggest problem is sin. And if you've never got forgiveness, then that's a mountain of a problem. And you couldn't remove it yourself. No matter how hard you try. You know, you could sing in there, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so that's the challenge that we have here tonight. How all these folk were touched. And you know, as we think of it, see in Matthew 10 there. Matthew 10 and verse 28. This is a challenge. You might fear tonight many things. And it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, Jesus loves you tonight. And if you have that problem of sin, you'll identify with it. If you don't know the physician, if you've made no preparation, then I have to tell you tonight that you're in big trouble. Because you can't go to heaven. And yet everything has been provided for you. And the Lord, with outstretched arms, is asking you to come to him and receive the gift of eternal life. And so, yes, people fear many things, but that's the greatest fear, indeed, of all, is to be kept out of heaven. And Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Saviour is saying tonight. Yes, have you a problem? Have you a physician? Have you made preparation? Finish with this verse in John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That means you have it. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he died for you and that you are the sinner, you can't make it on your own. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You won't even see heaven if you're not born again. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And so tonight, especially that last question, have you made preparation? Prepare to meet God. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I trust the Lord will speak. Nobody will leave here if you're not saved, that you'll say, I want to be saved. I don't want to go on any longer because my problem needs to be solved. If you're under conviction of sin, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He convicts you of sin, convicts you of your problem of sin. He convicts you of righteousness, that we're not good enough. Self-righteousness is no good before God. And he convicts you, indeed, of judgment to come. I trust tonight you'll be wise and you'll trust Christ as your Saviour. Thank you very much. And we have